Now what? He thundered. The rain fell off. What? It fell off, sir. Look, I may be a mariner and know more about the workings of a bloody anthill than I do those of a horse and coach, but I know that rains don't just fall off. No, sir, this rain here, it just fell off. I'm telling you, sir, you can have a look if you don't believe me. But no sooner did the nag start moving when all of a sudden, like, it fell off. Well, fix it then. And this had better be the last time we stopped, you understand? Yes, sir. 'Twill just be a few minutes while I put it back onto the bit. Elliot turned and stormed back to the coach. For the life of me, I don't understand how Blackheath tolerates such incompetence, he muttered, climbing back into the vehicle. I never heard of such a damned ridiculous thing in my life. Pippa sat on the seat across from him, an amused little smile playing about her mouth. Why, Elliot, one would think you're in a hurry to get somewhere, she murmured, and even in the dim light, he could see the humor in her eyes. This nonsense keeps up. I won't be responsible for what I do to that idiot out there. She actually laughed. Despite himself, he found himself smirking a bit too, because it was hard not to be affected by Pippa's cute, lopsided smile. Hard not to be affected by Pippa herself. And as the coach began to move once more, Elliot pulled out his watch, held its face up to the window so as to catch the faint gleam of light coming in through the vehicle's lanterns outside, and stuffed it impatiently back into his pocket. Shouldn't be more than another 10 minutes before we reach that damnable inn, he grumbled. That is, if the other rain doesn't just fall off. He slid his leg back over to hers once more, and this time had just reached out to lay a hand on her knee when the coach stopped yet again. Elliot exploded. Hell and damnation! What the devil is it this time? Really, Elliot, since when did you curse so much? My bleeding ears. Since this short trip into the village has been plagued with nonsense from the beginning, that's when. At this rate, we'd get there faster if we were to walk. Once again, he slammed out of the vehicle, and his breath frosting the night air, stalked angrily towards this utter fool that Blackheath had the poor misfortune to have in his employ. What is it this time? He snarled. The other rain? A puddle in the road? Highwaymen? You'd better have a damn good reason for this latest delay, or so help me God. Begging your pardon, sir, but the horse has diarrhea. What? I said, sir, the horse... Can't he move and poop at the same time? Well, he could, sir, but it would make an awful mess on the coach, sir, as well as my livery, which I like to try and keep clean, sir. Let me guess. He got into the shrimp as well, right? What? How far are we from the inn at Ravenscombe? Oh, I'd say maybe half a mile at best, sir. Very well, then. Since you seem incapable of getting me there under your own direction, I will sit here on this box with you to ensure that I actually reach my destination tonight. But, sir, it's starting to rain and... I'm in the damned Navy. I'm sure I know what it's like to get wet. Now get on the damned box, take the damned reins and get this damned vehicle into Ravenscombe before I really lose my temper. Moments later, both high-ranking Admiral and lowly servant were seated on the box, the former scowling beneath the brim of his hat, the latter flustered and worried, for he had instructions, very specific instructions from His Grace, to do all within his power to ensure that the Admiral did not reach his lodgings in Ravenscombe, and was brought back to Blackheath Castle for the night. And as Murdoch sat there, pale, nervous and uncertain, he wasn't sure whose ire he dreaded more. That of this stern-faced sea warrior sitting beside him on the box, or that of His Grace, the Duke of Blackheath, when he returned to the castle, alone.